We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back on the Jeff Dawkins Show. Joined now by Dan Devine, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, on Twitter at Your Man Devine. He's got a piece up about his All-Star selections. That, by the way, will be unveiled tonight. And so we will learn about the All-Star reserves tonight. In the meantime, Dan, I don't know the whole Groundhog Day, Punxsutawney, but if he were in Memphis, he would see that the sky is falling, actually. The sky is falling in Memphis. They have lost 6 of 7. Should we believe that the sky is falling? No, Dan Devine.
Hello?
Oh, there we are. There you are.
Hi, I'm here. Are you guys here?
Now we it was a technological snafu. But now you're here. Thank you.
It was probably me. It was probably the bad vibes of the Memphis Grizzlies,
right.
The sky falling,
nothing's
everything
working.
Coming down together. We've mixed up our animals. So we've gone from Punxsutawney Phil to Chicken Little.
100% right. Yes.
I think it's not great. I'm not going to suggest that it's that like.
Why we bring you on, Dan? This is why we have you here for this sort of analysis. It is not great. Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen. I mean, I get paid a lot of money to come up with terms that incisive. Losing that game last night was a major frustration where it's like, you know, you're not dealing with an opponent at full strength. You're not dealing with that is a game that you should have won. Damian Lillard obviously has been on like a heater of all heaters over the last month or so. I think it was something like 39-8 over his last 11 games and shooting the lights out. You saw that last night, but you're dealing with a Portland team that lost Jeremy Grant at the end of the first half, that lost Yusuf Nurkic well before that, that was playing, players, a lot of players who probably wouldn't wind up in the Grizzlies' rotation on a good night, and it just didn't seem to matter. And then the execution, late-game execution, we've talked about being an issue at times, especially when an opponent can keep you in the half court. These are versions of the problems we've talked about to varying degrees and at various times over the last couple of seasons. It's the dice are coming up snake eyes pretty consistently now, whereas they were, you were rolling sixes for 11 straight games or something like that, or 10 straight games. So I think that big picture, the larger sample, this will sort of all even out in the wash to still a very good team. But I think when we were talking last week, we were saying, are the Grizzlies a team that needs to think about adding, or should they just be standing pat? I think that what you've seen in terms of the last, couple of weeks should give you the pause of maybe Danny Green alone isn't going to be the rotation ballast that we need, and maybe we need to be a little bit more aggressive in finding that upgrade.
I don't know how much of the game you were able to catch, but did you have any thoughts on Danny Green and what he might be able to add?
I mean, I think a big. I mean, the fact that he's welcomed and already just like that they seem to dig him and like him, and that Taylor Jenkins seems to trust him. I think those are all important things. You're talking about a guy who's just off of a lengthy layoff for a knee injury, and also like Danny Green's getting up there in years and wasn't necessarily the most spry mover in Philadelphia before that. There's a Sixers podcast called The Rights to Ricky Sanchez, and they would talk about how he sort of moves a little bit like he has to go to the bathroom as he's trying to get across half court. The gait is not necessarily Usain Bolt, but he knows where to be. He's got safe crackers hands. He's been in a ton of huge games. And if you need another reliable shooter to park in the corner who's also not going to sweat, if he's missed a few in a row, like you're not going to have, one of the issues with young guys sometimes in playoff series is if they miss a couple in a row, the next, you know, the third one they get, they might be, you know, at that record scratch moment of like, oh, wait, am I really ready to shoot this? Danny Green has been putting up those shots in the finals. You know, like he's not going to, he knows that's what he's there to do. So that in terms of just the way that opponents have to guard you when they know you're not going to hesitate is different than if they think they can, you know, lay off you a little bit or they don't have to close out quite as hard. And that can have sort of cascading effects for what opens up elsewhere in the half court, which is a big deal. I mean, that could be potentially big, but I think you're also probably, especially for the foreseeable future, like the here and now, if you're expecting more than, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes a game of serviceable 3-and-D play from Danny Green, I think you might be expecting too much. Not to say that that's not very much at all. I mean, that's obviously a big help if that's what you get. But I think if you are a team with bigger aspirations that is as close as the Grizzlies are to the top of the Western Conference and that has the you know, the wherewithal in terms of picks and assets and young players and all the rest to go and find something that might be a little bit of a bigger add than that, I think this is the last couple of weeks should maybe give you some reason to think that maybe you should go and do that.
I will tell you, by the way, once people start, and I can say this because I am 61 years old and I've experienced this, once people start attaching compliments like spry and sharp as a tack, and sharp as a tack to you, you know what they're, you know, it's sort of a backhanded way of discussing my and Danny Green's athleticism. Anyway,
one of my favorites like that is he moves pretty well for a big guy.
Right,
well,
exactly.
You know what you're saying is that he's, it is a surprise that he would be moving that well given his shape.
Anyway, you know, so now we're all just talking about OG Anunoby 24 hours a day, basically. and the latest deal, I don't know, that ESPN had was Danny Green, Zaire Williams, three firsts. That's a Memphis in 23 and 25 and Golden State in 24, all for OG Anunoby. I present this to you. You are now Zach Kleiman. And you can only say yes or no. You can't. This is it. This is otherwise they're taking it to New Orleans and taking their off.
Okay, that's not fair to say that I can only say no.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes.
I think I say yes. Because you don't get this close that often, and I respect the general idea of you. You're an organization that loves to draft, that believes you can find value in places other teams can't, that has consistently hit home runs late in the first round, early in the second round, stuff like that, you know, continue to round out your rotation in those ways, and that you see opportunities where other teams might not. But OG Anunoby was a lottery talent that only fell to the middle of the first round, like a high lottery talent that only fell to the middle of the first round because he had a knee injury at Indiana. And he has played, like, at different points, a Defensive Player of the Year candidate this season. He has been a high-volume, legitimate three-point shooter for the catch-and-shoot option. The stuff that we talked about Danny Green maybe being able to provide for the Grizzlies and this iteration of the Grizzlies, OG Anunoby would, you know, be several orders of magnitude beyond that in terms of what he could bring to the table. And he's also young, and you still get a little bit of a runway in before he hits free agency. It's not just, you know, you're not a three-month rental. You have like a year and change with him. It's essentially a similar kind of calculus to the Justice Winslow trade, except with a way better player right now. And I think that there's and that, you know, that Grizzlies team was trying to find the connective tissue on the off chance that maybe they could get into the, you know, the fringe of the play-in tournament. This Memphis team is trying to find that, you know, piece of the puzzle that gets you to the title. And I think if you are not willing to put the additional assets you've stockpiled into the middle for a move that I really think could be that deal, then I'm not sure what we're doing this for.
Jeffrey, my producer here, who calls you every week, he wonders if OG Anunoby is really that good. In other words, is he become a mythical creature
right.
that we're all focused
right.
on?
Yes.
And how good is he?
He is not. There's a similar sort of corollary here to a couple of players that have come through Denver, right? So it's of the player type we're talking about, Jeremy Grant, we're talking about Aaron Gordon.
Right.
We're talking about guys who maybe were You know, in terms of what they can do as, you know, playmaker, you know, playmakers, not really high end on that level, not like great shot creators on their own, but dependable shooters who can defend all over the positional spectrum and who you can trust to play in big playoff games and who have played big minutes in big playoff games. And Jeremy Grant was in that role in Oklahoma City. He was in that role in Denver and then decided, you know, when he hit free agency, I want to see if I could be a number one. He goes to Detroit. Overall success level, not high, but he stretched his game, and then he winds up back in Portland playing like a-plus version of the role-player role he had in Denver and looking like a near all-star in that capacity, right? Aaron Gordon fits into Denver even better than Jeremy Grant did and winds up being a near all-star in that role. I think that's the order of player we're talking about here. If OG Anunoby, and there have been rumblings and reports that OG Anunoby, one of the frustrations for him in Toronto is that he's sort of down the offensive pecking order behind Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. And if he wants to do the Jeremy Grant thing of like, I want to go to a team where I get to take 20 shots a game, he's not good enough to be that guy, I don't think. I would be very surprised if he could efficiently and effectively impact winning in a positive way as the number one offensive option on a team. But he doesn't have to be an all-NBA player to be the right player for your team when you've already got the guy who creates the offense and you've already got the guy who protects the rim and you've already got the second creator who can shoot 45% from three. He doesn't have to be that guy in all those capacities and check all those boxes. He just has to be the guy that connects those dots. And I think I think he absolutely is good enough to be that guy. I don't think we're not talking about the Celtics getting Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, but we're talking about the kind of like the way that Gordon looked for that Denver team before Jamal Murray got hurt, and it was like they found the exact right piece to connect this lineup. I think Anunoby has the capacity to be that kind of guy.
There are two different chemistry issues, one which you just highlighted. If he wants to get all the shots, Ja's taking all the shots and Dez is taking all the shots, and that is both for this for the rest of this year, but then also going forward could be a challenge. Secondly, if you keep Dylan Brooks in this trade because Toronto doesn't attach value to him because he is a free agent at the end of the year, do they fit together? Who starts? Is that a problem?
It's a very good question. I think the sort of assumption for the most part has been like he'd probably need to go out in whatever deal you make because he'd be the sort of matching salary on a bigger deal. But this is not that one where you'd have to attach like multiple salaries to make it happen. It's a great question because obviously the Grizzlies have a lot of faith in Dylan Brooks. You know, it seems like every year now or every time there's a national game that comes up, we have the conversation of like, is Dylan Brooks the problem that the Grizzlies need to solve? And all the Grizzlies players are like, he takes all those shots because he does what he does on the defensive end and we trust him. And it's like, well, that was a pretty hard-earned he came by that honestly. He earned that way. And so I think it is a calculation you've got to figure out. You've got to see where Ja Morant is, where Jaren Jackson Jr. are before you make that move. If it seems like they can hold that locker room together, I think this is the test of leadership. This is the test of emotional maturity and, you know, where a franchise is sort of has arrived at. And I don't think anybody knows that question until you go for it. I mentioned earlier the Celtics that you know when they pulled together the big three era there with Garnett and Ray Allen with Paul Pierce. They talk about a major fracturing point being a couple of years into that run where they trade Kendrick Perkins to Oklahoma City. And like as an on-court value proposition, it was kind of like, well, he doesn't score a ton. He doesn't rebound a ton. We feel like we can replicate that production elsewhere. But the vibe of we have this thing that works and he's somebody that is helps us get to our best self defensively, yada, yada, yada. That's something that those Celtics guys continue to talk about to this day. So it is a big decision. There's no doubt about it. But if your goal is to make yourself the best version of this team to win the title this season, I think you need a talent upgrade to be able to do it. And there are opportunities. There's an opportunity to get one. So I think being a little too precious about the protections on a 2025 pick or whatever, if that's the thing stopping you, it shouldn't stop you. If it's Ja Morant doesn't think you should do this, and the team doesn't seem like it's going to hold together afterward, that's a very different calculation.
Would Dylan Brooks, by the way, have any independent... So Toronto doesn't... His only value in a Toronto deal might be his salary, in which case, why include him in that deal? Let's get some value for Dylan Brooks, someone who would value him for the rest of this year. Would he hold any independent value for whatever? I mean, the Knicks are trying to get OG themselves, would, you know, and they have playoff aspirations. Is there any team out there that would actually give you something for Dylan Brooks?
It's a good question. I think you would need some, you know, the kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You're not supposed to have this conversation. You'd need to have that conversation before you made a move to get a sense of, like, are you amenable to coming back here? Is this the start of not a 3-month relationship, but maybe a like 4-year and 3-month relationship? And I wrote this in the summer at my old spot. I mentioned it before Christmas Day at my current spot. I think Dylan Brooks is going to be a pretty fascinating player when we get to the 2023 free agent market, because I think there's a really good chance you wind up looking up, you know, if Harden stays put, or you know, if Chris Middleton winds up working out a new deal with Minnesota or Milwaukee, I think there's a good chance you look up and Dylan Brooks is like the best two-way wing on the market this summer. And that might not sound like much, but they're like, Lou Dort just got like $78 million over 4 years, right? And I say that not to denigrate Lou Dort, but I'm saying, like, yeah. If I'm Dylan Brooks, I'm saying I am at least worth that much money. So if you're like, you're starting a proposition, like, are you going to pay Dylan Brooks $20 million a year? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what the market is for him, but I think he might find it because there's just not a whole lot of bankable young wing talent out there that you can put on the floor in a big game. So I think that there very well may be a team that looks at it and says that's the attitude that we need. Like the culture that Memphis put together stems to some degree from that guy's not scared of anybody, and we could use some not scared of anybody on our roster that can also defend every number one scorer every night and not complain about it. I think there is definite value to that. I think they probably would like to see him either make some more shots or take some fewer ones.
Well, I was going to ask you about your All-Star selections, but time is running out. I'll point people to your piece, which is up. You actually are a voter, which is nice, and your piece over at Yahoo is up. I've tweeted it out. Thanks very much, Dan.
I will say two things very quickly, and then I'll let you go. One is I'm a voter, so the starters vote I had something to say about. The reserves one, I got nothing to do with. So if you don't like the stuff I said, don't worry about it. It has no meaning and no bearing for anybody.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
On Twitter at YourManDevine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.